The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back. Great to have everyone here on a Friday afternoon, and really excited to welcome in Matt Hayes, a longtime college football columnist. He also hosts a daily talk show down in Florida. And Matt, it's really wonderful to have you on. Hope you're well. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Paul. It's my pleasure. Hope the same with you.
Matt has, and among other things, he has written a piece that appears in Saturday Down South entitled All the Right Moves. Greg Sankey is the reason the SEC and others are playing college football. Matt, I'm just going to act like I haven't been paying attention the last 6 months. Just sit back and let you explain the reasoning and the rationale. It's all yours.
Paul, it's interesting. You know, these are strange times. We all know that. And not just in sports, in life, in society, everything. And this is when leadership is just desperate. We're desperate for leadership. And Greg Sankey's been the guy out there from day one, hasn't been wavering, hasn't been pushed around, has said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to listen to medical people. We're going to stay the course. And if our medical people say, you know, at the end of September that we can play, then we're going to play. And he never veered from that. And to me, that's the key when you start talking about leadership and you start looking at the other conferences and you start looking at Kevin Warren, who way back in July when all the Power Five conferences had gotten together and they were trying to get non-conference games among themselves for each other because they clearly could afford the idea of way back then testing, tracing, and quarantining, unlike the group of five teams. But the Big Ten on a conference call, and three different sources told me this on a conference call among the commissioners, that's when Kevin Warren stepped up and said, you know, we're the Big Ten, we lead, we're expected to lead. And a couple days later, that was it. Big Ten announced they were doing non-conference games. And then a month after that, the Big Ten, 40 days away from when they needed to say it, said, we're out, we're canceling the season, it won't be revisited. And the next thing you know, here we are now, what? I guess a little more than a month later, Paul, and now the 10th of 10 FBS conferences, the MAC, has gone and said, guess what? We're going to play football this fall. So we've gone from now, Paul, there's going to be no football, and everybody's saying football is dead in the fall, and they were talking about this laughable idea of playing spring football, to now all 10 conferences are playing fall football.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, we both have covered it every day, and it's still pretty extraordinary to see the MAC being the last one on. We talked to the commissioner of the MAC, I think, on August 10th, and I mean, he may have been the most emphatic commissioner I talked to about saying the medical people said, we just can't do it. No chance. Not happening this fall. I'm interested, and I know the testing is the answer everyone gives, but you've been around a long time. Why did everyone else come back after canceling or postponing the season? What's the real reason?
Well, I clearly think testing was the big reason. I mean, when you can have immediate tests like that, that's a big deal. But also, when you start talking about, I think another big reason, Paul, and everybody has really overlooked this, when the college football playoff came out and said, after it was clear that the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 were playing, after that was clear, the college football playoff came out and said, all right, well, these are our days. The same as they were before. This is when we're playing. This is when we're going to award the championship. And, oh, by the way, one of our national semifinals is in the Rose Bowl, which, oh, by the way, is the biggest game of all for the Big Ten and the Pac-12. I think that kind of rattled some cages then. And then once the idea of better testing came along, quicker testing, more accurate testing, then it was a no-brainer. Because, I mean, Paul, the reality, and I've had multiple sources tell me this, when the Big Ten decided to cancel the season in the fall, and once again, Kevin Warren declared it will not be revisited. When that was decided, he said the hope was the rest of the – not even the hope. They thought the rest of the Power Five conferences would follow them, which is why you read all these stories, Paul, about how college football would be dead by the end of the week. They leaked that out. The Big Ten leaked that out for the idea of gaining public support so it would happen. But what you have is you have leaders in various conferences, and Greg was at the forefront of this, Greg Sankey, and John Swofford and Bob Bowlesby said, wait a second, wait. We've got time. Let's wait a little bit. And they waited. And what happened is when they waited, things started to change. Because as we all know, Paul, when this COVID society right now, it's hour by hour. Things change all the time. And they were smart enough to think, wait a second, let's wait. And not only that, Paul, they have the ability to lead their presidents, which is the key thing here, because the university presidents make this decision. When you've got a guy like Greg Sankey and a guy like Don Swafford who can tell their presidents, look, we have to wait because it's the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do, and it's the prudent and fiscally responsible thing to do. So they waited. And when they waited, all of a sudden, the path to playing caught up because of the testing and everything. It caught up to COVID. And they were allowed to play because medically their advisors said, yeah, let's do this. We can do this. We can do everything we can to protect the student athletes, which, of course, was first and foremost the number one priority.
Matt, I've got to go back and ask you something because every article said it was over, life support, dead. You said the Big Ten leaked that. Can, for those of us who have never sat behind a computer or written an article, what is that? How does that work?
Well, you get it's either the man at the top or people around him. Well, you know, we'll talk to media people, be it writers, be it radio, be it TV, and you tell them, look, this is what's going to happen. We're canceling, and the rest of the Power Five is going to follow us because they have to. There's no way they couldn't follow us. And that's how the story gets out. And then once it gets out, then everybody rallies around it. Public opinion rallies around it. And then you force the other group, the other three in the Power Five, to say, okay, we can't do this. There's too much pressure right now. And when you've got guys, when you have leadership of guys, of three guys in the Power Conference, the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12, Greg Sankey, John Swafford, and Bob Bolsey, you said, wait a second, we're not doing this. We're doing what we think is right. We're going to wait. And that was the key thing, Paul, in this entire process. There was time. You didn't have to start the season on time. Those three guys, those three commissioners went to their president and said, we can pause. The pause was the greatest part about this entire process, because you pause and you give yourself the ability to let the testing and the tracing catch up to the COVID virus, where you have a chance to do the best you can to keep the student-athletes safe. And I don't understand why the Big Ten didn't look at it that way. That was the biggest problem of all, is they immediately tapped out 40 days too early. And that was the big mistake.
Matt, let me ask you, and for those who don't follow this very closely, Kevin Warren took over after Jim Delaney retired. And Delaney, by every responsible and objective source, is a legendary figure in college athletics. And do you think he was just trying so hard to set his own pathway, or do you think he just completely misread the room?
I mean, I guess that's probably the safe way to say it, misread the room. I just think, Paul, you're dealing with a first-time commissioner in his first year on the job, and I think he didn't have the wherewithal to realize, look, I've got to move the president here into the best position where they can make the best possible decision. And if you don't think that was an issue, look at how after they canceled the season, the ADs were saying, I don't know if it was a vote. I think there was a vote. The Minnesota president called it a deliberative process that it wasn't a vote. Then a week and a half later, after they'd been sued by Nebraska, they said, oh, yeah, it was a vote. It was 11-3. It was the entire process was a nightmare for them.
And now that everyone's back, here we are. The strangest season of our lives has just gotten a little bit stranger. What are your thoughts on the way this is going to play out? Because you have everyone back on the table again. The college football playoff is not going to budge. What's going to happen here? I think we're happy that we're going to have this controversy, but what do you think is going to happen here in a couple of months?
Well, I think first and foremost, Paul, over the next couple of months, I think you're going to see cancellations. You're going to see postponements. You're going to see this. It's a problem. You have to work the problem. And that's one thing that Greg Sankey told me early on. We have to work this problem. It's not like it's going to go away. So there will be postponements. My guess is there will be cancellations. That doesn't mean the season ends. There will be positive COVID tests. It doesn't mean the season ends. Now, as far as at the end of the season, what will happen, I think it's going to be the same as it always was, Paul. They're going to pick the four best teams. And if that means a 6-0 or 7-0 Pac-12 team they feel is the best team, then they'll get in. I don't think anything's going to change. And if you don't think that's true, think about 4 years ago when Penn State beat Ohio State, won the Big Ten, but didn't get in, and Ohio State did get in. So they're going to pick the four best. I don't think there's any question about that.
Matt Hayes, his piece, All the Right Moves, Greg Sankey is the reason the SEC and others are playing college football. Matt, great to have you on. Hope you'll come back soon. Thank you very, very much.
Sure, Paul, my pleasure.
You got it. Interesting, fascinating perspective there. We will continue bouncing around. We've already been a million different places in the SEC as we go to game sites and try to get you ready. We'll continue doing that. We'll also try to work in some of your phone calls when we come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Put a little cherry on the top.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back, and it has been a busy one as we continue to work our way through the SEC. Tomorrow night when it's all over, the SEC final, 10:30, right after Tennessee in South Carolina. And let's head out to San Francisco, a very SEC-like town, to talk to Arthur. Good afternoon.
Oh, yes, Paul, the Atlanta of the West, San Francisco. Well, the Pac-12 is back, and you knew I had to check in, didn't you?
I've been waiting for this call, so it happened last night, and you are first from Frisco to call in today.
Yeah, you know, I'm smiling ear to ear. Now, there is something. You know, you're the mouth of the South. I talk the most smack in the pack. And I got to say, I reject the notion that the SEC is starting 1 month late. Everything is good. Pac-12 starting 2 months late. Oh, no, you have already canceled yourself and removed yourself from the discussion. Am I right to feel that way?
Arthur, I don't think it is. I've talked to a few people today, and in my mind, even though it's a truncated season, as long as somebody runs the table and looks good doing it and has an impressive win or two, I would consider the Pac-12. I think it's short-sighted in this year of all years to just make absolute statements.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Paul. I'm happy to hear people are saying that. You know, people keep asking, like, is this going to be legitimate? You know, are we going to be able to claim this as a championship if we win it? And I think it's going to come down to this. If one of these schools, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, I'll throw Georgia in there, if they win it, then everyone will say, sure, it's legitimate. But if, you know, North Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Cincinnati, if they win it because, you know, teams have, you know, depth charts are in their third and fourth strings and whatnot, then people are going to say, ah, you know what, we're not going to count.
But Arthur, think about it. I mean, baseball has 16 teams in the playoffs. It's September 25th, and we're about to go to the NBA Finals. So why would anyone adhere to tried and true, well, you can't do it because of? To me, there are no rules this year.
I agree, Paul. And you want to know what? I think I'm keeping my expectations a little bit low as well in terms of crowning a true champion. Like, I'm happy to have football. And let's go out there. Let's play the game. You win some, you lose some. It's a weird year. Let's just enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree. I did, you know, while you were sleeping this morning, I was doing some shows with Mike Greenberg, and that question kept coming up. And I'm like going, well, I mean, first of all, the idea of arguing over the college football playoff sounds pretty good to me. And, you know, and... And the Pac-12 is the Pac-12. It's of the 24 spots in the playoff since 2014, it has grabbed a grand total of two.
Yep. Definitely behind, and a lot of reasons for that. But once again, like you said, the playoff, it ties us all together. And when there's the one loss second place SEC team and the undefeated Pac-12 champion with a few games different played on the schedule, it's going to keep this show.
Yeah, and Arthur, I'll probably, then I'm sure I will have changed my mind, but that's that's 3 months off.
Always good to talk to you, Paul.
Hey, thank you.
Enjoy the first day of the SEC, everybody.
You got it, Arthur. Really good to hear from you. Calling us from San Francisco. Very cool. Let's continue and check out Mike in North Carolina. Hello, Mike. Good afternoon. Mike, you there?
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey there.
Yes, Paul. I've got a question, well, a comment really to make concerning these kids that's not going to get to play because of a rule that the SEC passed 2 years ago.
Right.
There's exceptions to all rules, and we know with this China virus that there's a lot of rules that have been set aside, including if you play this year, you get an extra year of eligibility.
Exactly.
I think this rule was poorly thought out and should never have been implemented. If a kid's been cleared by the NCAA to play this year, why does the SEC not want them to play in the Southeastern Conference?
Well, Mike, I tend to agree with you, and the SEC also has a rule where you play 8 conference games every year, and they're playing 10 this year. I think you just ought to throw everything out, frankly. And you know, for this 1 year, now I don't know, I would just go ahead and say, okay, no rules this year in regard to that, and we'll when we get back to normal programming and meet again, let's revisit the rule. But
I've
never understood if somebody wants to go someplace, let them go.
Right, exactly. And why send the kid out of the conference?
No, we are in agreement. I don't think the people that run the league are in agreement, but that's okay. They've done a pretty good job.
I think Mr. Stackey needs to understand there's always exceptions to any rule.
Yeah, the only question I have, and I don't understand the parliamentary rules of the SEC, but I'm not sure he can just arbitrarily, or maybe he can, decide to do whatever he wants.
I think if he's our commissioner, I think he could stand up for these kids. I thought we were a conference that put the student athlete first. These kids aren't being put first if you're going to not allow them to play. After all the work they put in, they've been cleared by the NCAA to play, but you won't let them play in our conference because they transferred from another SEC school? That's ridiculous. Let's just suppose we had a player in Tennessee from Florida. One of his parents becomes seriously ill. He wants to transfer to Florida, be near his home, be near his parents.
Well, you're right.
He can't transfer.
I think it's. I agree with you on that. So, hey, thank you for sharing that. Let's talk to Jeff in Columbus, Ohio, on this Friday afternoon. Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we are doing great.
I mean, why is that guy ripping your head off, Paul? Why is he complaining to the head coaches in the conference that voted to have that rule?
They did.
I mean, he's barking up the wrong tree, isn't he?
I think he is, but I appreciate the call. I appreciate him calling.
Yeah. Hey, from Mike Griffith to Red Dog and now Daryl, where are these Georgia fans getting off thinking they're going to go undefeated this year when they've basically got their third quarterback in line from where they start? Don't they realize it's not easy to win with a brand new quarterback? What do you think?
Well, I tend to agree. I probably would have felt more comfortable with Jamie Newman only because he had experience, but
right,
he's yesterday's news now.
I mean, maybe Mike Griffith has sold all these Georgia fans a bag of goods or something, but I called out all the hardcore fans to start calling in, so I'm glad Daryl called in. At least he brings some energy to the table. But my goodness, Daryl, you're not going to run the table. There's no way. Not with a brand new quarterback that's got no college experience. I mean, that's the most important position in football. Everybody knows that. So these Georgia fans need to check themselves and realize they'll be lucky to not lose two games this year. That's my prediction. Who do they open with tomorrow, Paul?
Georgia is at Arkansas in the first game. But they turn around and play Auburn next week, and then Alabama in week four.
I mean, I can't imagine Monday we'll hear all these Georgia fans and your boy Griffith after they paced up 60 or 70 on Arkansas like they did something big. But, yeah, they better check themselves when they got to go play the Auburn Tigers, because I'm thinking Auburn's going to whip them in that game with their defense against a brand-new quarterback. That's my prediction. So, Georgia fans, sit down. Check yourselves, and I don't see you guys going undefeated at all. That's my point. I'll talk to you later, Paul.
Jeff, great to hear from you. It's been a pretty exciting 2.5 hours. Commissioner Sankey. Roy Kramer was the commissioner in the 90s. Greg Sankey will join us in the next hour. We'll also talk to Todd Blackledge coming up here in a minute as we continue working our way around. Todd is in Columbia, Missouri, for the Alabama-Missouri game tomorrow night on ESPN. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. 90 minutes ago, the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey. In the next hour, we are really thrilled to welcome back to our show again Todd Blackledge. He is courtesy of the region's guest line, and he's, of course, getting ready to do Alabama and Missouri. Todd, thank you so much for the time. Let's set the table here. It looks like a mismatch, but it is an unpredictable college football season. Let's start with Missouri, because Coach Drink has talked a lot about missing players. I don't know what condition they're going to be in terms of numbers, what the effect of players being gone. But what's your assessment of this club?
It's so hard to read right now, Paul. I don't think they'll be missing as many players as Coach Drink maybe thought initially. They will be without some guys. But the good news for Missouri is their defense was pretty solid last year. He retained the defensive coordinator, Ryan Walters, and a lot of those starters are back. So I would expect that their defense will be ahead of their offense at this point in the season. The big question mark is just offensively. You know, they aren't sure, or they haven't announced anyway, who's going to play quarterback. And it's the system that he likes to run is fairly complex. And, you know, without a spring season, without, you know, a lot of the stops and starts that they've had to deal with this summer, it'll be interesting to see what level of execution they have offensively. But I think their defense is going to have to carry them for a while, and certainly a tough challenge against Alabama and a lot of the weapons that they have coming in offensively.
Yeah, and Todd, the weapons are endless. Let's start at the quarterback position. Mac Jones, we've seen enough of him to have a pretty good idea, but I mean, he's got people all around him, does he not?
He does, and I think he has a good understanding of, you know, how important it is to just get the ball in the hands of the right people. I watched his film from last year, and I was very impressed. For a guy who has not started a lot of ball games, maybe has not played much beyond mop-up duty, when he came in when the games were for real at Auburn and then the bowl game in particular, I was very impressed with his pocket presence, his awareness, his ability to move and buy time in the pocket, not panic, and then deliver the football with accuracy. So, you know, I think he has waited for his opportunity. I think he is very talented. And like you said, and he knows, he's got guys to give the ball to, whether it's to turn and hand it to Najee Harris or whether it's to throw it out, you know, to Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle. I mean, those are two of the premier wide receivers in the country. So he'll know what to do with the football.
I'm interested, Todd, in all the conversations we've had and all the games you've covered, I think it's been as difficult to gauge this year, but the Alabama defense needed an upgrade, and this, the feeling at least is that this is going to be a much saltier unit, obviously, with Dillon Moses coming back. I mean, that was a tremendous loss last year. Your assessment of them?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, I think, Paul, is I think they're going to be pissed off. You know, I think they're going to play with a chip on their shoulder defensively. I think they felt like, you know, they did not play to the standard that they expected Alabama last year. Now, granted, you know, they lost a shootout on the plains with Auburn, and two of those touchdowns that Auburn scored were pick sixes, you know, so those weren't really on the defense. And then the other game they lost, another shootout to arguably the best offensive football team in LSU that we've seen in a long, long time in college football. But it still wasn't to their standard, and I think that they want to get back to that. I think having Dillon back is huge, not just from a talent standpoint, but from a leadership standpoint, from a maturity standpoint. The good news, some of those young guys, particularly at linebacker, that were forced to play last year when Moses and McMillan both went down with injuries, have a year under their belt. So they're not rookies anymore. They're more familiar with the system. And I think we'll see a much better product, you know, if they stay healthy, a better product out of the Alabama defense this year. I think, you know, one of the areas I think that that they want to increase, I think they want to be able to put pressure on the quarterback more with their front, with their defensive line. That was a little bit of a weakness last year. Again, injuries hurt their defensive line as well. They did a great job of taking the football away, and they'll want to continue that. But they need to find a way to pressure the quarterback a little bit more with their defensive front.
Todd, before you go, I would like your thoughts as somebody who lives in Big Ten country, who is one of the, you know, most famous alums of Penn State. What are your thoughts on, I know it worked out well, but on the odyssey of the Big Ten over the last couple of months?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of seemed like a debacle from start to finish. You know, I'm really glad where they ended up, but it just seemed like they couldn't get out of their own way in a lot of ways. And you know, the biggest problem, I think, and really why I think through all of this, Paul, you know, the Pac-12 made similar decisions as the Big Ten, but the reason nobody criticized the Pac-12 is they seemed to be more transparent and more forthcoming about what their reasons were and what the things that the coaches were told and their administrators were told of why they made the decisions that they made. And there just didn't seem to be that with the Big Ten. And, you know, with the fact that Kevin Warren was stepping in for a very powerful guy and taking over for Jim Delaney, you know, I think some people kind of challenged him, too. You had coaches speaking out. You had athletic directors questioning things. That probably wouldn't have happened under Jim Delaney's watch, you know. And so it was a tough situation for Kevin Warren to go into. But I just think they never did find the right way to handle it. And it just, you know, it kind of every day was something different, you know. And like I said, I'm glad that they finally arrived at where they did. I think it's great for the players. It's great for the families of players that they're going to get to do this. But it was definitely a strange odyssey to get here.
No doubt. Almost everyone is back in one of the strangest turnarounds after the strangest spring and summer in college football history. Todd, can't wait to watch the game tomorrow night. We appreciate you making time. Hope to see you very soon.
Good talking to you, Paul. Take care.
You got it. Todd Black was joining us from Columbia, Missouri. He'll be part of the call tomorrow night on ESPN Missouri hosting Alabama. We will continue to work our way through a couple of more stops along our way, including SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey joining us in the next hour. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Put a little cherry on the top.
Dylan is up next in Augusta, Georgia. Dylan, thanks. Welcome to the program on this Friday afternoon.
Hey, Paul. It's the Friday before SEC football, so I'm assuming you're doing well.
Thank you. Great to hear from you.
First thing I want to say is I think there's going to be more upsets this year than there ever has been just due to the uncertainty of everything. There's not really a home field advantage this year for anybody, really. I'm just going to ask a question and get off here so you can get some more callers. With Sam Pittman recently being at Georgia, do you think the knowledge that he has of our defense is going to be something that's enough to outweigh our talent and strength? Or are we going to be able to just put Felipe on his butt like we did when he was in different colors?
Yeah, Have a good day, Paul. Thank you very much. I do think it helps. I've seen games like this before, but it's somewhat limited. I mean, if he had a really high-flying team, I think it might make a bigger difference, but sadly for him, because I like him a lot, I just don't think he has enough players right now that it's going to make a significant difference. Thank you for the call, though. I do appreciate it. We've talked to Coach a couple of times, and yeah, he clearly is excited about the game. Let me see here. How about Eugene in Georgia? Hello, Eugene. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I'm enjoying your show so much.
Thank you
for taking my call.
Wonderful to hear from you.
Hey, Paul, I just want to let you know that I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's games and really am intrigued by the fact that Georgia's going to start a quarterback that we haven't seen before. And I just would not have been complete if I had not heard Jeff's take on that situation.
Yeah, Jeff.
Especially from an Ohio State fan, you know, I mean, gee whiz, I really feel complete now after having heard his comments. But I wanted to tell you, Paul, that I remember a particular quarterback who I think may have well been the best I've ever seen play college football, and that was Archie Manning. And he started out as a freshman that nobody had ever seen before, and I think he did pretty well.
Yeah, you know, as a pure college quarterback, he may have been as exciting as I didn't see a lot of him age-wise, but I did see some, and all three Mannings did pretty well.
Well, they really did. I had the pleasure of seeing Archie play Georgia in his freshman year, and well, I guess maybe he was a sophomore when he played back then. Maybe freshman couldn't play, but anyway, it was his first year. And he was just tremendous and just really so exciting. He's the only college player I can think of who I would compare to our great Herschel Walker in terms of taking over a game and just controlling it. But, you know, I think we're going to find out a lot about our quarterback situation. But once again, Paul, I would not have been complete if I hadn't heard Jeff's
comment. Yeah, well, so. I feel better myself. Eugene, thank you very much. Another call from Georgia. This guy claims to be the original Red Dog, which would upset the not so original Red Dog. Red Dog, you there? The one thing about the original, the current Red Dog, he speaks when spoken to. Let's check out Tracy in Virginia. Hello, Tracy.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
Good. I was calling to ask. First, I'd like to say I'm glad that we have football back, and also that we're thinking about the other leagues and the other players that aren't able to play football at Bluefield College, and I'm thinking about their football players and Coach Lust. But also, I want to ask about what's your outlook on tomorrow's game with my LSU Tigers against Mississippi State? I know we've lost a lot this offseason, but I think we have enough guys coming back that were able to play in big moments last year. And the guys there right now are going to play and have to prove themselves, and I think they'll be up for the task.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people are kind of counting us out, kind of.
Well, know, Tracy, I think it would be foolish to count LSU out. I think we need to quit focusing on what's not there and talk about what is there. And there's enormous talent on that team. I just want to see what Miles Brennan looks like. I've heard so much hype about him, about what he's done in the past. Tomorrow we will finally get a chance to see. Thank you for the call. Jake is up next in Georgia. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Paul. How we doing?
We are well. Thank you.
Wonderful. And I just calling in real quick and, you know, want to kind of chat about Georgia's quarterback situation and really a rebuttal to that wild guy that called in a few calls back telling Georgia fans they need to check themselves. Obviously, from his voice, I'm assuming that he's an Auburn fan. And, you know, if so, I just want to remind him that out of the last 15 meets that we've had, they have won 3-0 in Athens and only 3 in Auburn, right? So we're not too worried about Auburn this year, absolutely not. Now I understand that the home field advantage is going to be different. But coming into our freshman quarterback, look, this guy is great. But, you know, I really think the only reason that JT Daniels isn't cleared to play yet is just to get rid of the headache of the feelings involved with him not being cleared yet. I can pretty much guarantee that he's going to be cleared for second week in Auburn. I just want to have your opinion on that, Paul.
Yeah, I agree with you on JT. I totally agree, Jay. Hey, thanks for the call. Paul is in Indiana. You're on the air. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, go right ahead, Paul.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your show.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job. I live right outside of Louisville, Kentucky, which has been bashed with, you know, protests and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to get your input on the I'm a huge UK fan. I've talked to you several times. What do you think about UK Auburn?
Yeah, I don't know when I've ever been asked more about a Kentucky football game other than maybe the Georgia game 2 years ago when we were up there and that was a titanic battle. But I'm still not sure I believe that Kentucky can go down there and win. I do think it will be a narrow game, but I've talked to a lot of people. We had Jordan on earlier, others who really believe it's going to happen. But if it does, I would be thrilled. There's hardly anybody bigger fan than Mark Stoops than me. It would be a major accomplishment and a signature win of sorts. Hey, Joey, you're on the air. Go right ahead. You're in Florida.
Hey, Paul, we're in Marathon, Florida. We've been missing you down here.
Well,
I moved down here from Auburn. I just want to get your thoughts on the football team this year. Been watching you every day. Love your show.
Thank you.
War Eagle.
Well, I hope you're saying some War Eagles tomorrow. That's really an exciting game. That would be the early game tomorrow morning. Chris is up next in Raleigh. Hey, Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, shout out to you. I think the SEC, we don't really have football till the SEC plays, but I think you got 2 upsets tomorrow. I think you got Ole Miss is going to knock Florida down, and
wow.
I think Leach at Mississippi State is going to knock LSU down. And here's why. I think the upgrade in coaching with Kiffin and Leach is going to be the difference.
That would be just absolutely shocking if those two happened. And, you know, that's the one thing about next week, Judge, that I can't wait. I mean, it gets tiresome, not in a negative way, but none of us know anything right now, so we're just grasping for straws.
Right.
Next week, it's overreaction city.
Yeah. Hey, 2 quick things. First of all, shout out to Dylan Childers at the University of Florida. They're going to kick his butt. I think he's highest in his class. He's about 6'4", but I need some advice.
Sure.
I'm down here at the beach with you got a friend. I don't want a beach house. I want a friend with a beach house.
Oh, yeah, same here.
But they don't understand football. They want to go shopping. There's this lady named Lady Mary Beth and Sir Al. They want me to do chores and go shopping when it's time to play football. So you got me some advice. I need some
help. My advice is to tell them you're busy. Tomorrow is the first day of the college football season for most of us. Hey, thanks, Judge. Appreciate it. We have a busy final hour. We're going to pop around a couple of places at some of the major games. And we're also going to have a conversation with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, and we hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.